He'll be a Blackhawk forever. He's going to forever be known as Chicago's captain. He's the longest tenured captain in Chicago sports history. He took on the role in 2008. He's one of the greatest players in team history of his generation, and some of his milestones and his accomplishments will be extremely difficult to match.
Quite a way to end out the season. It's now official. Jonathan Toews playing in his final game tonight at the United Center. Just want to get in a few thoughts and a few quotes from Kyle Davidson after his closing presser of the 2022-2023 season. First off, I'm glad that there is a decision before this final game. I'll say that from a personal view, kind of like what we saw when Toews announced that he was going to take some time off. It was just nice to have an answer for both Jonathan Toews and for the fans. And the same case tonight. So whether or not you're frustrated about this being Toews' last game, at least we have the clarity, and at least fans will get one more chance to say goodbye and give him the proper send-off that he deserves. Because even Patrick Kane didn't really get an official send-off. There was definitely the thought, definitely the speculation, but nothing was certain. And now Jonathan Toews gets that. And I think it's significant that the final piece to leave the Blackhawks organization from the dynasty period was the captain. I joined John Williams and Dave Ennett earlier this morning, and Dave Ennett brought up the point that Jonathan Toews is third all-time in Blackhawks history for game-winning goals, a stat that I would honestly think that Patrick Kane would be around. Kane, of course, had the huge goals in the playoffs, and even to the point where he had a series-clinching goal in almost every playoff series. But Jonathan Toews had some very big playoff moments. I think a lot of people remember the breakaway for the overtime game winner against the St. Louis Blues, the game-tying goal against the Vancouver Canucks in Game 7 of the 2011 first round of the playoffs, just kind of encapsulated what the captain was, falling down to the ice, throwing his stick towards the puck, and getting it past Luongo to tie up the game and put everybody in that building in Vancouver on edge. Now, of course, Hawks lost that game, but I think that series proved to a lot of people that this team was still hungry, even though they picked up their first cup in 49 years the season prior. And none of this happens without Jonathan Toews. So why move on? Here's what Kyle Davidson had to say about why it's important to move on from the greatest captain in Chicago Blackhawks history.
This is about us trying to get back to where we want to be. And if, you know, if those tough decisions have to be made, then I have to make them. I don't know if resting on whether it be sentimentality or the past does us any good in the future, but they're very hard. And I don't necessarily reflect too much on it, because there's always something new that you're always trying to solve for, but it's not easy, but we do it from the best place in that we think it's the best for the long-term prospects of the team.
If anyone's thinking that Kyle Davidson isn't paying enough respect to the history or what guys like Toews and Kane did for the history, just remind you that Davidson's been in this organization since 2011. He has Stanley Cup rings because of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. As hard as it is for fans to accept the fact that this organization is moving on, it's tough for Kyle Davidson, too. But it seems like he's thinking more with his brain than his heart with all of this. And for somebody in his role, it's hard for me to point blame at that. Because at some point, you do have to move on. And this was a very hard Band-Aid to rip off. And it was another decision that everyone was just kind of looming and waiting for. But at least Jonathan Toews gets the proper send-off. At least the organization was straightforward with him. And now we wait and see what happens. And I think Davidson's right about not being sentimental. Who knows if the Blackhawks would be better off if they were to re-sign Toews and Kane. You know, they could, theoretically, yes, they could still go about their rebuild with those guys on the roster and help the next young core that's going to come up and help this team. But Kyle Davidson wants to make sure that the next leadership group, that the next Jonathan Toews or any Brent Seabrook type has the complete clear space to take that role. And with the captain being absent, not by his own fault, over this past year, I could see where that can create just some absence in who's leading this team. Now, luckily, the coaching staff seems to have a good hold on that whole aspect, and everybody on that team, based on their comments, feels like they can be a leader, feels like they can speak up when needed. And that is a philosophy that it seems like Jonathan Toews instilled. But with the direction the whole organization is going in right now, I understand why Kyle Davidson might want a more concrete, clear leadership group moving forward for the next successful Blackhawks team. And the whole other outlier is Jonathan Toews doesn't know if he's going to play next year. And that's got to be rough for him. And I do feel for him. But if you put yourself in the Blackhawks' shoes, if you have the control of having a better idea of who your next captain is, wouldn't you want to have that? So who is the Blackhawks' next captain?
That's for the group in the room to decide. I think we've got some great veterans within the room. I think it's something that we will also look likely to add to a leadership group. But it's just that it's a group. And I think it'll allow current players here, players that come in, to step into those roles and just allow that to work itself out naturally. It's not something that we're going to point to one person and say, that's the guy. You know, we'll let them figure that out and let them manage how the leadership in the room is developed.
Obviously, the front runners are Connor Murphy and Seth Jones. But now this allows Luke Richardson, his coaching staff, this next Blackhawks team to decide the next leadership group. But let's talk about Luke Richardson. I've clearly been very high on him all year long, and I think it's credible to think that way. He has kept this team incredibly competitive all year long, even to the point where a victory in the second to last game is driving some fans nuts, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I don't know how to dissect it other than he's aced this year. What else could he have done this year that would have left you more impressed? Now, as high as I am on him, I'm very curious to what next year will look like. And I do think next year will be more fun for Blackhawks fans. We're past the uncertainty of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. We're past the first year of a rebuild. The Blackhawks will still be rebuilding, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be as similar to the first year of the rebuild. Not quite sure how successful they'll be in the win-loss column, but I think the biggest judging factor will be, can they stay as competitive as they were this year? And you would think yes, and even more, because you'll have more guys coming up from Rockford that will already have some NHL experience under their belt. You'll get a more developed Lucas Reichel, a more developed Alex Vlasic, Isaac Phillips, Arvid Soderblom. But it does sound like the makeup of the roster this offseason will be a lot like last year's. Kyle Davidson saying he wants to continue to utilize the flexibility he has with the cap salary and using that to the Blackhawks' advantage to maybe take on some rougher contracts from other teams in order to acquire more draft capital, basically keeping his options open. And that seemed to work really well this past year. But something I've been talking about a lot this year is the Luke Richardson hire was probably, no, it was the most unique hire in the NHL this year. And not like, oh, the most special, the most important. You're going after a coach that you're trying to find for an entire rebuild. Most times it's, hey, we need a new NHL coach. Who's going to make us win the most right now? That's not the case. They want that to eventually be the case, but that's not the case right now. So again, right now, Luke Richardson seems to totally be the guy. It is only 1 year. I'm very interested to see what next year will look like, but everything that he's done makes it very hard for me to believe he is not the guy, because him being able to keep this team competitive for this entire season, imagine what he can do with a competitive team. And Kyle Davidson was mentioning that all the feelings he had about Luke Richardson during the hiring process were basically just confirmed over this past year.
I don't think he's had a misstep all year. It's been a really, really impressive season from him. And it was something that went right back to our initial interviews with him. You just felt it was right. And the connection was there, how he saw the game, how he wanted to play the game. It was something that after that initial interview, it was, this is the guy for sure.
So with one game left on the regular season, there is still room for the Blackhawks to land with the number one overall pick and with the number six overall pick. Whole bunch of scenarios. Obviously, if the Blackhawks lose tonight, that increases their chances of being at the bottom of the standings, but they would still need help from the Columbus Blue Jackets. A win tonight would deny a chance for the Hawks to finish at the bottom of the standings. There's a chance they could finish in fourth, but again, there's just so many variables going on. It's going to come down to Friday, is what I've convinced myself already. Columbus plays Buffalo for the last game of the year. Buffalo has already been eliminated from the postseason, so the Sabres have nothing to play for. But I want to play for you what Kyle Davidson had to say about the win in Pittsburgh, because all the Hawks fans, I got so bent out of shape after that win. And I get it. I understand the frustration. I understand what it means, what it entails. And it kind of seems like Kyle Davidson's got the same thought process. However, one of the biggest things he's taken from this year is you can't control everything. And he tries to use that mentality when looking at the Hawks' potential draft lottery places.
It was one win, and you know, we kind of fluctuated a couple spots there that night. There's a lot of other games that went to the point of putting us in a position where it did fluctuate our, you know, we won a lot of games early, we won some games later. I don't think one game, it's obviously magnified because it's right at the end, but we've accumulated points to that point of the schedule, and those points play as much a part as a win in Winnipeg, in Pittsburgh. And so, you know what, we're just kind of, we'll just wait it out, and we'll see where we're at on May 8th and kind of go from there.
So whether or not the Hawks do land the number one overall pick, Kyle Davidson is still very excited about this upcoming draft, not only because of the talent available at the top, but because of the depth. Now, once the draft lottery happens, there is going to be a decision to be made. And I think out of all of it, that's what the top spot helps out with the most, is you don't really have a chance to have regret. You don't have a chance to have concern, because it's just such a unanimous choice with Connor Bedard. And let's say the negative stars align and Connor Bedard isn't what he has been expected to be, I don't think anyone would pass on him right now, based on everything we're hearing about the guy and seeing and all the scouting and the assessment on him. And Adam Fantilli seems to be there at number two, again, unanimously. But then it gets a little bit more intricate down the line. Leo Carlson, Matvei Michkov. When is a guy like Michkov going to be available, if he is going to be available at the NHL? And I appreciate Kyle Davidson's openness about that whole speculation of the upcoming draft. He's basically keeping his options open on everything.
Everyone's on the board. And you know, I don't necessarily think that being available to us tomorrow is a prereq for us to draft you or not. You know what, there's, again, this is not something that we're going to fix overnight. It's not something we're going to fix in Nashville at the draft. It's something that's going to take time. And this was year one. I thought we had a great draft class last year. We'll see how they develop, and where early returns are positive. Hopefully, we have the same feeling leaving Nashville from the 2023 class. And then there's going to be more classes after that. And then hopefully at some point when the collective comes together, we've got ourselves a pretty special team. So we're not taking anyone off the board. We're not taking anyone out of consideration just because they might not be available to us in year or two or whatever. And so I think that would be a disservice to our endeavor for acquiring the best players. So it's something that's under consideration. Lots of work to do, lots of things to learn between now and the draft in Nashville. So we'll see where it goes.
Tonight's FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show begins at 7 o'clock. Our own Ernie Skatten has already made a fantastic open for the broadcast with John and Troy. Definitely don't want to miss that. And we'll have one more Blackhawks live show next Monday as well on April 17th. But just wanted to get some thoughts in before tonight's broadcast. If you're on your commute home or if you're heading to the game right now, thanks for listening to us all year long. We'll talk to you tonight from the United Center. I'm Joe Brand.